John, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And when we look back, especially in education, we'd probably say that, well, if we'd acted on all the things that we knew then, now we'd be in a better place. We were just talking briefly before this interview about the fact that if you were to look at what we knew and what we know and what we've acted on and what we haven't acted on, you'd probably describe this as looking at it from a, you know, the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing type of perspective. Could you just expand on your thinking?
Yes, be delighted to, because I think this is a very important issue. We have come to expect that a specialist will tell us what to do. Now, there's an interesting two words in the English language which often tend to be used as if they're the same, but they're not. One is specialist and the other is expert. And what I'm wanting to say is there is a very subtle difference between the two. The specialist is the person who knows absolutely everything there is to know about a particular topic. You can't fault him on it. He knows all the research, knows all the proof and whatever. The only thing is that if you say, but surely that's not the only thing we should be considering when we're looking at this big picture, the specialist will shrug his shoulders and say, well, I can't help you on that. All I know is this. Now, the discussions I've been having with Daniel Willingham, for instance, in the University of Virginia, on the basis of the argument he put forward to Michael Gove, and that was based entirely on a cognitive science argument. And when I wrote to him about it, he said, well, I can't comment on these other things. That's not my area of specialism. I'm wanting to say that actually we've surrendered too much to the specialists. We've actually said, because we're difficult at getting the big picture, somebody can tell me all about the details of one thing. Now, the person who sees the big picture, we refer to as an expert. And here's the subtle difference. A specialist knows everything there is to know in their own subject. You can't fault them. An expert was once a specialist, but decided that actually he had to learn how to apply his very special skills to look at relationships which went beyond his specialism. So experts are those people who could look at an issue and say, yes, but there are more things here that need to be considered. Now this is, if you like, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You see it in politics all the time. Michael Gove has made a strong point. The Prime Minister's backed him up. It's happened in other countries. We've got to drive schools to learn this, that, and everything else. Then other people in politics turn around and say at a different time, we've got to have people who know how to collaborate with each other. So the relationship between competition and collaboration is utterly critical. Now, if we don't get that right, then things get screwed up. The old-fashioned craftsman would have seen himself more as an expert than a specialist. He'd be somebody who knew how to take an idea, apply all the rules that they thought they understood, and then try and look at it from the outside. When I was very young, I was taught to woodcarve by an old craftsman in the dockyard in Portsmouth. And he was the most wonderful woodcarver anybody ever came across. Because he was so interested in how he could produce a good carving, what he was doing on his time off on a Saturday afternoon, he didn't go and look at wood carving. He went off to the local art gallery to look at paintings because he was so excited at how he had come to be a really good carver. He wanted to understand how somebody else could become a really good painter. And I think that's the relationship we need to understand. So, yes, it's very dangerous in the modern world. The left hand doesn't always know what the right hand is doing. We've got to be better at getting the two together.
So how did this problem start in the first place then?
That's a fascinating story, and it's a frightening story, because it actually only goes back just over 100 years. It goes to the writings of a guy called Frederick Winslow Taylor in America, who was the first and the most dominant efficiency expert. And he studied the way that professionals did their jobs. And he was faced with the fact, and this was early 1900, people who invested a lot of money in factories, they still weren't getting great production from it. And he wandered around these factories with a time with a stopwatch, and he timed how long it took people to do things. And after 2 or 3 years, he came away and said, I've just sort of seen the light here. We've got all these wonderful machines. Those machines don't need skilled people to work them. They just need people who will follow the instructions. And he said the key to our future success is not to invest in developing loads of experts who can make up their own minds on things. It lands in developing people who will just do as they're told. So if we have a very few specialists who can say absolutely everything that needs to be done about turning the cog in a certain machine or whatever, somebody else who's an expert, a specialist in something totally different can decide how to sell it. But providing each person knows what they have to do in their part of the job, then we'll increase productivity. And it was right. They did. They improved productivity twofold, threefold, fourfold, about tenfold in many instances. But the only thing was they drove people crazy by doing that, because the workers no longer had to think for themselves. They had actually to follow instructions. And so here's the key to our modern dilemma, because Frederick Winslow Taylor said, yes, we have to understand it will drive people crazy, but you pay them more money for just accepting instructions than you would pay them to have a free hand. And so the whole of modern society has been built up on this business. All we need is specialists to do exactly what they're told to do without thinking about the implications. So we're surrounded by a world of people who actually are not good at seeing the implications of the left hand doing one thing and the right hand going off in the other direction.
And what's the balance then? Because we are taught to be specialists through the education system, and the experts are those that sort of go beyond their specialism. Do you see a future where those specialists, you know, within being a specialist, you also begin to look out and have a more collaborative approach to your specialism?
This is an issue that's concerned educationists in a variety of countries, because, yes, you do need youngsters to grow up, know a lot about something, but also you need youngsters who have grown up to see how it all relates. And I think it was the Danes some years ago who said, okay, the only thing we can think of is we keep the old system. You've got exams in whatever, 3, 4, 5 subjects at the age of 18. We've got to introduce something else. In addition to that, no child would get their graduation certificate unless they could set up a project which they would have to run in collaboration with other students, which would use at least 3 different subjects, 3 different mediums for development. And at the end of a 6-month period, that project had to be judged by a combined group of teachers, other students, and members of the community. And unless the student could pass on that, however well they did on the separate subjects, they didn't get a graduation certificate. And without that ability to merge the two things together, yes, we need to be specialists before we can actually become experts. And that's the key to it. You have to become a specialist, but then you've got to grow beyond the specialism to see how it comes together. That's the problem that faces the world.